Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
Time to jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to the 80s. I am your host, Golden J, and with me, as always, Frankie Vegas.
Hey, what's up?
And we are here to take you back. Back to one of the greatest decades ever, where I feel like I'm dancing with myself. What's up, buddy?
Not a whole lot. It is April. It is baby month.
Oh, why do you call that baby month?
Because April 25th, when my daughter will be C-sectioned and a baby human life will be ripped out of her.
Human life.
Human life.
Tugged away.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I don't blame you. I love new babies.
Yeah, that's on a third day. Fortunately, it's not a... not a recording day, but even if it was, Jeremy wouldn't have let me come in anyway.
It's true. I would have sat here all by myself and be like...
dancing with himself?
I'm dancing with myself. baby month is in full swing.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So other than the preparation for the new grandbaby...
Yeah.
What else you been up to?
Just working a lot.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah. I wouldn't think, you know, delivering pizzas and working in a pizza place, you know, I'd have that many hours. But I'm like, damn. You know, and to the point where they're telling me, you got to watch your hours.
Oh.
They're like, you're killing our...
Yeah. Well, you know, I can definitely watch my hours from home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went through that whole scenario in the month of March where they had to trim some of my hours, too.
Yeah.
So I get a few Fridays off. Of course, you know, the rocker chick, they slowed down a little bit. So she had some Fridays off. Hmm. We took some adventures, man.
Yeah,
went out and did some Jefferson Point, did some Costco in one on Friday. Went out to eat in a couple of really fancy spots. If you call Penn Station a fancy spot.
Well, yeah, hey, I would. Is that then going to be on Golden Image?
Yes, eventually. We did a place at Jefferson Point now called the Painted Tree, which I'm going to talk about.
Right.
Cool. We just have been we've gotten so much other stuff, you know, done that we talked about that first. So this is kind of kind of an offset. When we need it, it'll be there. And
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what our last episode was. I mean, by the time this episode comes out, we probably had another one or two.
Y'all have another one in, yeah.
Yeah.
The past one? Oh, I can't remember. Where were you guys at?
I did the...
Some adventure place.
Yeah. The Skywalker went to the Generations Adventureplex.
Yeah.
Which fucking sounds like a blast.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Actually, I did, I think the last episode that we did, I did the Warsaw Sports and Trading Card Show.
Oh, yeah.
Which turned out to be amazing. I mean, I was, like I said, in the episode, I was expecting to walk in, one fat guy at a card table, and, you know, that was the extent. But they did a great job putting that together, and yeah, it just turned out really good.
And how much money did Aspen spend on cards? Or did Grandpa spend on cards?
I think we walked out of there, I think I was $32 poorer, which is not bad.
No, not bad.
They cut me a deal on some cards that I got. I got a Tony Gonzalez with some game-worn jersey in it.
That nice.
Yeah, it was like a $20 card, and I picked that up. I picked up a Rashid Rice, and I picked up an Isaiah Pacheco, and he sold me all three of them for $20.
No,
so,
no,
yeah. I mean, I can't complain about that.
Oh, no,
at all.
Not at all.
And I bought another one on a different place for like $1. So Aspen ended up getting just a couple packs, and then one of the groups had like a pack of 50 for like $2. Oh. And you know, he gets cards, and Grandpa doesn't spend a fortune, and it worked out really well for me. But yeah, it was fun. They got three more of them coming up. Of course, as this recording, we just kind of veered through Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a chance to sit down, and I talked to my son-in-law, Trevor. He's big into the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading cards and stuff like that. And I just said, hey, you know, they got another one coming up in June. You want to come down and we'll go? You know, I was, as I'm walking around, I'm like, Trevor would like something like this. You know, this would be right down his alley. And he knows a little bit more about that stuff than, you know, those kind of cards than I do. So, and yeah, he was like, oh, yeah. So we're getting that in the books for, I think, June 22nd
yeah.
is their next one there. It's at the CCAC in Warsaw, yeah.
Very familiar with the CCAC.
Yeah? What do you? Oh, yeah, you are, because that's all your wrestling matches.
Wrestling.
Now, do you guys do that in the building then,
yeah.
in that building?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
That's where the mm-hmm. card show was at, was in that.
In the building, yeah.
And you're wrestling. When is your next big wrestling event?
420.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, don't go into that place. It smells like a skunk was in there.
I can neither confirm or deny.
That's probably the wisest choice you can make. Well, we have a couple things I want to spat out here.
Oh.
We do have the Frankie Vegas crop tops and t-shirts now available on the store goldenmojoent.com, where you can get your own Frankie Vegas shirt, and on the back it says, what happens in Frankie stays in Frankie.
Thank you, Logan.
He did an amazing job. Yes, Logan, yeah. Thank you so much. You know, he did do a couple new Call Guys shirts. We didn't have a Call Guys t-shirt on there. We had hats and a couple other things, but onesies. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a Call Guys onesie.
Yeah. All right.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right?
Made him in adult side, though.
With the buttons under the crotch. Hell yeah. Can they get him that big? Imagine what the price of that would be.
Oh, jeez.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, they make women's lingerie with that snap system that way. Yeah,
that's true.
Uh huh.
Look into it, Logan.
We need an adult onesie.
You know we're gonna get a video, right, of Logan wearing a onesie,
adult onesie that says Golden 80s on it. Oh, or for just Frankie Vegas. Except the print on the back is going to be way lower around the ass area. What happens in Frankie stays in Frankie.
Oh, my.
We also are gearing up for our one-year anniversary of the Golden 80s, and we need your help.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We're thinking... And I'm just going to spitball here because we have a few more weeks before this actually comes into play. But we're thinking we'd like to see our guests in a giant, say, Riverside meeting or a Zoom meeting. What do you think, Frankie?
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it. Whatever you want.
I don't even know what I want, but it sounds like fun.
It does.
I think that, and of course, this may change, but right off the cuff, we think that if you, the listener, love the show and want to come on and celebrate episode 52 with us, we want you to bring questions to ask us about the 80s.
Yeah. Whether it's our opinion on something or what, something we did in the 80s, mm-hmm. or our favorite of whatever in the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
It'd be great. So, yeah. Shoot us an email, thegoldenimage80s@gmail.com. Let us know if you'd like to be involved in that. We would love to have whoever would want to come on. Mm-hmm. And we will get it worked out. So just let us know.
Yep.
thegoldenimage80s@gmail.com. All right.
That works.
Of course, we may make some side adjustments on this. Yeah. You don't know what how it's all going to work out.
This may be edited before it even reaches the air. We don't know.
That's right. You come back on. You, what we decided to do was. All right, Frankie.
Oh.
You have a, what do you got for me today?
Well, oh, for the question of the pod?
80s edition. Suck it, Colton.
There you go. Poor Colton. Yeah.
He's done a lot of sucking lately. That's, oh, wait.
Didn't they just trade away the first their first overall pick?
Did they trade away the pick?
I thought that's what I heard. I may be totally wrong on that because I have just been...
I know
so
that
far removed from the draft this year, I don't know what's going on half the time.
And this is after we just did the 1983 NFL draft, and you're like, I love the draft.
Yes, I
know
the
that
draft.
They traded their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
He went to Pittsburgh to back up Russell Wilson, who also went to Pittsburgh. Of course, in turn, then they get rid of their number one pick or their quarterback, Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because, you know, apparently he's not as great as I thought he was going to be, but I thought he was going to do well. So now you got Russell and Justin out there in Pittsburgh, which leaves them quarterbackless in Chicago.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's initial thought is they're going to take Caleb Williams.
Something like that.
As their number one. But I read the same thing you did, that they're talking about trading away that number one pick and picking up some more. So I don't know what they're doing in Chicago. I mean, maybe they just will bring in cheerleaders to fucking play. Who knows what to play with?
I don't know. I don't.
If you're a coach for the Chicago Bears, suit up because you're going to be fucking playing.
Man. It's more of a headache being a Bears fan than a Colts fan. Man. I mean, I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah, what do you guys got going on? You who quarterback for you last year?
Minshew.
Oh, it was Minshew. Yeah. And Minshew's gone. He ended up in where?
He's in
Oakland.
Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah. He's with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
But it was, you guys had Carson Wentz a couple years ago.
Yeah, we had him a couple years ago. Kicked him to the – we can't keep a quarterback.
Yeah. You know?
But now we got Anthony Richardson. And,
yeah, I wouldn't jump up on the roof and shout that to the fucking
– if he can learn how to slide and not go head first, he might be all right.
You know, going out for almost a full season, he might just learn something new there. But he got
a good guy backing him up, though, that can probably teach him the ropes. Joe Flacco,
that's right. Yeah. The great stuff he did in Cleveland this last year.
Yeah,
and
so I feel okay, you know.
Yeah. Well, we ended up with Carson Wentz in Kansas City this week. So,
but you know what? Carson Wentz has proven he can be a winner. He can win Super Bowls, you know.
And I'm okay with him being the backup.
You know.
I like it better than Blaine Gabbert. I think Wentz is a better quarterback than him. So
yeah, I feel like if somebody like him is good. If your starter goes down, you got somebody that is capable of being a starter.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. All right, we need to get off football talk.
I know. I can't help it. I love football. But anywho,
the question of the pod. 80s
edition. So. I'm back on listening to today's episode that was on. We were talking about our favorite restaurant or, you know, we'd like to eat at one more time from the 80s.
Yes, yeah.
And so I got thinking food again. So is there a food that was back in the 80s, a brand? Like, I'm trying to think of something, you know, that you really had in the 80s that you really liked that maybe you don't see so much anymore that you wish went back.
Let me think.
Or just something, maybe it's still around, but automatically when you see it, you automatically think childhood in the 80s.
Wow.
You want me to go first?
Do you have something?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, my thought is, and it's I loved it when I was a kid, but now I think it's horrible. Not the Goober Grape peanut butter.
Oh, right.
I used to love that as a kid, and then they came out with the strawberry, which was even better.
When you were a kid.
When I was a kid. Now it's just awful, and I don't know why it's still on the shelves in some places. But, yeah, that would be mine. I see that, and I just automatically think of when I was a kid. And,
right.
You know, my mom buying that so she didn't have to buy peanut butter and jelly.
Right. All right, I think I have something.
Okay.
And I know they're still around. And as a matter of fact, Oreos just put out a cookie with these mixed into the filling. I can't remember. They were like a Space Zappers or something like that, Oreo. But Pop Rocks.
Oh, okay.
When I think of Pop Rocks, and this is so weird. When I think of Pop Rocks, I go right back to, do you remember when we had the Pancake House in Warsaw?
Yes.
Do you remember the big statue that was out front? It was the old cowboy that sat on the fence and had his arm up or whatever. Yeah. We were there one time with my buddy Donnie. And his sister Erin, and I think it was his mom that had taken us there for lunch or breakfast or whatever, and he had done something and talked her into buying a box of Pop Rocks, and it was the first time I'd ever had them in my entire life. So he had this box of Pop Rocks or a bag, and then he would just give us one or two, and we had to do all this shit because we were like, oh, we want to try them, and he's like, well, stand on your head and count to 10 or something, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't remember what all we went to, but I remember riding in that car and getting like two or three Pop Rocks and being able to pop them. But that's one of those things that back in there, they were great because it was like something different, exciting, and new. Mm-hmm. And now I don't really give two shits about them. Even the Oreos was like, the Oreos were fine. It was kind of a neat little, you know, nostalgic trip. But at the same time, it was like, whatever.
Yeah, I never liked Pop Rock. No. I didn't like that feeling in my mouth.
I was always scared you weren't supposed to eat those and then like drink soda or something because you'd
blow. What was the rumor, like Mikey from Life Cereal, his stomach blew up or something?
Exactly. Don't drink Coca-Cola with your Pop Rocks. So, there you go. So there you go. That's Pop Rocks is for me. That would be the one thing.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about getting away because it is really hard to think of 80s themed questions.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I might try to think of something different for year two.
Oh.
Maybe something like, what Jeremy think?
Well, that can be dangerous. Can I still say suck it, Colton, when we get to it?
Oh, I'm sure he'll say we stole it from him.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I'm sure that we stole the call guy's idea for our 1 year. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know.
Poor Colton. He takes so much wrath from.
But he's a great guy, though. Yeah.
Sure. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
I'm trying to be nice, Colton. I really am.
Oh, I like to pick on the guy. A lot of fun. All right, man. You ready to get into today's episode?
Yeah, I don't know if I remember what it is.
Yeah, you're going to remember because this is a remix album by English rock star. By a English rock star, released in June of 1985 on Chrysalis Records. It contains remixed songs from his first two albums, the first two albums, and the Don't Stop EP. This album was reissued in the United States with one extra track in September of 1987, peaking at number 10 on the Billboard 200. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to talk about Billy Idol's Vital Idol album. I'm going to, Frankie.
Yeah.
I believe that this was your idea to talk about this album.
I don't know why, because I just know that I came up with Billy Idol because my daughter texted me or tagged me on something on Facebook that Billy Idol, and she just said, podcast suggestion with a question mark.
Right.
And so I said, all right. And for some reason, Vital Idol was the only thing that popped into my head. And I don't know why.
Yeah, you could have done Rebel Yell.
And I did absolutely awful. And
you know, we could have changed this up and just went with a different one.
Yeah, we could have just talked about Billy Idol. I mean, because I have questions.
What fun is that? Let's talk. We are talking about Vital Idol. We're putting my foot down. This is the album we're going to talk about. It sucked.
Yeah. I mean, taking anything away from Billy Idol.
It did not suck. My thought when listening to this back is why the indulgence of what he did with these great songs. And like I said, it's a remix of songs from his first two albums plus the Don't Stop EP. And if you remember the Don't Stop EP, it had songs like Money Money and Baby Talk. That was side one. The Untouchables and Dancing With Myself was side two. Obviously, Money Money is a remake from
Tommy
James and the Shandells. Yeah. So he remixed all of these songs from the other albums. And it's just like, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it if he was shooting for like a dance remix.
That was what I'm figuring, because, you know, it was. I've always tried to figure out exactly what his genre is, because, you know.
Well, you know, he started off as kind of a punker. I mean,
you know,
he was
kind of rock, punk, you know. But I don't really know. Then he got into the dance thing, and I think that might have been so he got club play.
It could be.
You know,
but I mean, the songs stand up on their own for club play. If you do them, you know, mm-hmm. Dancing With Myself is a banger, man, period. I mean, it's just a great song. And, of course, you know, White Wedding and To Be a Lover and these songs are danceable songs by.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was just trying to, he just seen it as another way to put out a. Because everybody, you know, does a remix of, you know, or something, you know, for one of their songs,
right.
It seems like. But not everybody puts out a whole album
of
remixing their songs. But he did. So he probably, maybe he just looked at it as a way to.
I don't know. Let's make
some money.
So Vital Idol 1985 listed 7 songs. The album length was almost 42 and a half minutes for 7 songs. I mean, so right there, you know that these songs are kind of long. But let's break it down. I don't want to talk. I was talking about the original 85 and not the U.S. version, which came out in 87. Although they kind of look like the same list if you look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Except they added Catch My Fall in the U.S. version. But I'm not even sure I know that song. I listened to the 85 version of it. So let's just go through. Mm-hmm. You got your list there?
Oh, yeah. I would just.
That's
yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're on the same spot here. So the first song on the Vital Idol is White Wedding. And they call it Part 1 and 2. It's a shotgun mix. It's 8.5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And about 4 minutes, I'm like, he does the breakdown for the dance mix part of it. And it's like, it just kind of drags. I mean, it wasn't like it gave me anything that, it was just the same thing repeated, and you know, for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the same beat and the kind of the same little hitch lines that went through it. And it was like, get back to the actual song. I mean, dance remix it all you want, but at least get back to the damn song. And it just kind of...
Agreed.
Once again, I love the White Wedding song. I played the White Wedding song. We used to do it in the old Crystal Blue Armadillo.
You know, the first thing I thought of when I was hearing that song, think, you know, knowing we were doing this for the podcast, was like, Jeremy and Gunner and Skywalker should have done this at Montana's wedding. Hey, little sister, what have you done?
Oh, man. Yeah, that would have went over like a lead balloon. But White Wedding originally came from the 1982 album Billy Idol.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing song. Everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to track number two. Ooh. Dancing with Myself. This is the Uptown mix. Once again, the same thing, man. Yeah. I love this fucking song in its original format. It just drug in certain spots where it was just like, I know what he was shooting for. I know what, you know, if you're doing that dance mix, you've got to, you know, you're kind of keeping it flowing as a DJ. You're finding those spots, but you know, it lost something in this version for me.
But Dancing with Myself, from what I've understood of what that song's actually about, I don't know that you should have did a dance mix to it.
Oh, know? Well, what is it about, Frankie?
Self-pleasure. Which is funny because if you ever listen to WRSW, there's the sweetest lady that DJs over there, and I won't say her name just not to embarrass her, but they were playing this song one time, it was a few years back, and she says, I enjoy dancing with myself, and I'm like, and I have a buddy calling me up almost immediately, because we were at work, were you listening to WRSW? Like, yeah.
Okay, I enjoy dancing with myself. What happens to Frankie stays in Frankie.
Hey, I didn't say.
I love the song Dancing with Myself.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite Billy Idol songs. It came off the Don't Stop 1981 album. But once again, the remix idea. Yeah. I think we've come to the, I won't say it again. This whole thing is a remix album and I don't understand any of it.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Song number three, Flesh for Fantasy.
Totally ruined the whole song.
Totally.
I think so.
Yeah. This is Below the Belt mix from the Rebel Yell album in 1983. Once again, love the song.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh for Fantasy.
Can you curl your lip?
Of course I can. I'm a fucking Billy Idol fan. Of course I can. We just got to get that thing up in here.
I can't do it.
Well, you need to go home and practice.
Yeah.
Do a little dancing with yourself.
I'm dancing with myself.
Oh. I think that's how I actually did it, was I was singing it and I started working the lip up. Flesh for Fantasy was one of those songs that... When I listened to it on the original Rebel Yell album, I'm like, man, there's just something about this song. It's great. I don't know, because it's kind of a mellower song. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little laid back, but it's just got that. Who would have fucking thought of putting those words together? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose there's some sort of reason behind it, but this song is like 7 minutes long in the remix, and I remember listening to it, and all of a sudden you hear, Flesh!
Mm-hmm.
Flesh! Flesh! And I'm like, oh, God, no. No, you're killing me, Billy. You're killing me. Yeah. So I guess I'm going to stand corrected, because number four on this one is Catch My Fall.
Catch My Fall.
Which is just a remix fix. Also, Catch My Fall comes off of Rebel Yell. I'm not overly familiar with this one. I think as I was listening back to Vital Idol, I think I might have gotten about 2 or 3 minutes into this one and kind of just jumped forward.
Yeah.
I don't think I really listened to the whole thing. What is the extra song that done? Oh, is it Hot? No. I'm looking. Love, nope. Dang.
I'm not.
One's got 7, one's got 8. Which one's missing off of the other one? Oh, it's To Be a Lover.
To Be a Lover, yes.
Yep. As I'm just looking over the list. Crazy. Okay, so Catch My Fall, I'm not overly familiar with. Like I said, I didn't spend a ton of time on that song. Number 5, coming in, probably one of his biggest songs ever. I mean, he's got some pretty good songs, but this next one is a downtown mix of Money Money, which actually came off of the Don't Stop EP, which once again is Tommy James and the Shandells. This remix is 5 minutes long, which... The Catch My Fall was only 4:56. So, but I mean, those are the two short, pretty much the two shortest songs on this album.
Mm-hmm. Did you do Money Money in any of your bands?
I think everybody did. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was. I mean, I don't know that we did a great job. I don't. It's not one of those songs that kept with me.
Yeah. But it seemed like back in like the later 80s, earlier 90s, you kind of had to know that song because everybody requested it.
Right.
So you kind of had to have it in your
arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could play it. We just weren't very good at it. You know, there's a lot of synth and stuff in the background. So some of the bigger bands like in the area, like say Coda with the synth, when they had their piano guy and whatever, you know, that was, you know, they added all that stuff in, made it sound really good. We didn't have that, so it just didn't portray into a very good version of Money Money. Always a big fan of Money Money. It is the song that got U93 kicked out of Triton High School for dances. They would not hire them back because they played this song during a high school dance. And if anybody who ever knows music and ever knows Money Money, they know that the tagline that the kids all sing is, you know, it'd be like, hey, now come Money Money. And then we'd all go, hey, hey, what? Get laid, get fucked. Now, can you imagine we always had our dances in the cafeteria. How about you guys? Same spot or?
Trying to think. I think it changed around a little bit. Sometimes it was in the cafeteria, sometimes it was in the gym.
Right on.
Just kind of depends.
Depending on what was going on. We had in our really big-ass cafeteria. The DJ would always set up at the front, you know, and you could come in through the doors in the back, in and out, like we always did. But this place, the cafeteria at Triton High School was very big, and it was packed. And every fucking person, every student in that room was screaming that at the top of their lungs. And I remember looking up and seeing teachers running for the DJ booth. Like, you need to shut it off. Shut it off. But they played it through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's already started now. Just let it roll. Just let it roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Money Money, great song. Billy did a great job of remaking that on the Don't Stop album. Once again, remix, not really my cup of tea on this deal.
No.
Number 6, Love Calling, the Rub-A-Dub Dub mix.
Okay.
You got anything on this one?
I don't. I listened to about like 2 minutes of it. I'm like, yeah, that's enough.
Yeah. And number 7, Hot in the City. This is the Exterminator mix. You got to give him fucking credit, though. I mean, he did come up with some great taglines for the mixes. I mean, come on. You know, Below the Belt, the Remix Fix, the Downtown mix, the Rub-A-Dub-Dub mix, Shotgun mix. Anyways, Hot in the City also comes from, both Love Calling and Hot in the City come from the Billy Idol album, which is a 1982 album. So as far as what came out in 85, that's your list. They did add To Be a Lover, the Mother of Mercy mix, in the 87 U.S. version, which came off the 1986 album Whiplash Smile.
Well, yeah.
Which That Whiplash Smile was a hit and miss album for me.
I didn't really have a lot of their. I mean, I did have the 87 Vital Idol album. I did buy that. I don't know why, but it did. I didn't don't remember it being that bad. Maybe the 87 wasn't as bad.
I want to know why he didn't remix Sweet 16. That would have been a great dance mix with the. And I'll do anything for my Sweet 16. Why did we come back with Be a Lover? I don't know. Because it's more upbeat, I guess. Looking at the cover of the 87, I probably had that in my collection. It just looks really, really familiar.
Yeah, I did. I had that.
Right on. Of course, you know, they did 10 songs on the 87 Japanese release. White Wedding, Money Money, Hot in the City, Dance with Myself, Pleasure Fantasy, To Be a Lover, Love Calling, Catch My Fall, Shaking All Over is the extra, and then another live version of Money Money, which was on the Japanese release. They flooded it with Vital Idol. You know, too many remixes, too many reissues.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why. That was kind of my question, was why so many, you know?
Do you suppose that it was a record company thing that they were trying to, they needed so many albums put out by him under contract?
Maybe. I mean, that very well could be.
Went four times platinum in Canada. With over 400,000 units sold. Gold in France, Germany, and New Zealand, and platinum in the United Kingdom and the United States. United States selling over 1 million copies. So it worked for him, obviously. You know. He did a revitalized in 2018 of this album. So, I don't know, man. I love Billy Idol, but.
Yeah. I mean, what's your Billy Idol, the artist, what is your.
I love Billy Idol.
Your overall opinion.
Love Billy Idol. Yeah. I love the look. I love the songs. Now, not every album for me was a completely full. I love this entire thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was kind of hit and miss. Hold on. I want to look. Whiplash Smile was one of the first albums that I did buy of his. Sweet 16, World's Forgotten Boy, To Be a Lover. Those were some of my favorite off of that. Mm-hmm. Sweet 16 is an amazing album, mm-hmm. or amazing song. The song. Not a remix, just the song. And I don't Need a Gun was another one that was really good on that album. Trying to remember, Rebel Yell. You know, with Rebel Yell, you get a lot of great stuff on there. But like I said, once again, for me, it wasn't a full album of amazing songs. I mean, you got Rebel Yell, Eyes Without a Face, Flesh for Fantasy. You know. Stuff that was actually on the remix albums, but
yeah. Which album had? Because like my favorite song by Billy Idol is "Cradle of Love."
Rock the cradle of love. You know, that's a good question.
I can't remember if that was late '80s or early '90s, but that I love that song. The album itself, I didn't much care for, but the song.
You know what? I don't know.
Because I remember borrowing the album from a friend just to listen to that song, and the rest of it I didn't care about. Off the fourth studio album, Charmed Life, in 1990.
Okay. Yeah, that was a big, if I remember right, that was big on MTV back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the big.
Oh, that video was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the babysitter sitting there crawling on the floor towards the dad.
Who played the babysitter? It was somebody pretty famous, wasn't it?
I don't think, she wasn't too famous, because I watched a thing on, it was like back when MTV was still half decent. They did a thing like what happened to some of the vixens from music videos. And she's like real prim and proper, and she's like really embarrassed by that whole video.
Oh,
because well, she was just a teenager at the time.
She's making a dollar.
Yeah, and I did think about I love that video, and I think about how would I have reacted if a sexy babysitter would have did that to me after, you know, picking up the kids, you know. Would I have kind of freaked out or been all into it? Like
today? So after you thought about it and listened to Dancing With Myself, what did you come up with?
I didn't. No. I just thought, man, I couldn't imagine because it's never happened. I couldn't imagine being in that situation, you know.
It would probably for
the
first
hell out of me.
Yeah. The first thought is like, yeah, I can go to jail for this. Mm-hmm. That's the first thought that's going to go
Absolutely.
Through my mind. The second thought is, yeah, that's divorce waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. There goes half my stuff. Mm-hmm. The second thought is that I'm going to dance with myself later and think about it. You need to go home. Go. Get your ass home.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean... Yeah, I guess it's an awkward situation.
Yeah,
period.
I thought, like, how would you handle something like that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, that.
Thank
was
God scary. We don't have to actually worry about it.
No, because I've never had it happen, and that's good.
So, Frankie, you've heard me talk about. We talked about Huey Lewis in the news. We did the sports album, and their guitar player, and how I think he's completely underrated.
Yes.
I feel the same way about Billy Idol's guitar player, Steven Stevens.
Okay.
This guy is an amazing, amazing guitar player. And what he's done, he's pretty much spent his whole entire career with Billy Idol. I'm sure he's done some other odds and ends with other people. I mean, I would never say that because I don't know all the things that he's done. I'm trying to get a grasp on it right here as we're kind of talking, but I saw him with Billy an acoustic set one night, and I watched him play White Wedding on an acoustic with no guitar pick, doing all this picking with his fingers. And from that moment on, it was like, you know, because you listen to him, you know, and he you know, the stuff he's doing is great, but until you're actually exposed to watching him play is just insane of what this guy can do. You've got to, if you get a chance, anybody, bring up Billy Idol acoustic with Steven Stevens and see what you can find. Look for White Wedding. I'm telling you right now, it is unbelievable watching him play that guitar. So, mm-hmm. It looks like he's got, looks like he's got like five studio albums to himself. You know, he's got he's done everything with Billy Idol from 82 to 2022. Looks like he worked with Rick Ocasek. He worked with Vince Neil, and then a bunch of other stuff.
Did you
that
say
I
Michael
mentioned.
Jackson?
Did he work with Michael?
Yeah, it said he played for Michael Jackson, Robert Palmer, Rick Ocasek. Vince Neil's band.
He worked on Dirty Diana.
Dirty Diana.
Thompson Twins, Peter Criss.
Why would anybody work with Peter Criss?
Why not? Sebastian Bach. There's the question. Why would you want to work with that?
Nobody gets along with him.
Yeah. Well, apparently... he and got along with him in 2014 for three songs.
And I love Sebastian Bach. I love his voice.
Yeah.
But nobody seemed to have a good thing to say about him as far as somebody to work with.
Right.
That I've heard.
He appeared on the Top Gun Anthem song.
Mm.
How's that?
Very nice.
Yeah. Anyways, I have a great deal of respect for Steven Stevens, and I think he, once again, is not in that top 10 list that everybody talks about as far as top 10 guitar players, but I think he should be. I think he should be definitely in the top 10, if not the top 5 of amazing guitar players, and I think you can take Jimi Hendrix and throw him out.
Damn. You're going to get some hate for that.
I probably will, but I don't think Hendrix was that great of a guitar player, so Cheers to me.
I don't really have an opinion, you know. I think you were the. I think we're not going to get on a Jimi Hendrix discussion. Yeah. I think he got a lot of his love because he was black and he was left-handed.
He was black? Shit, I missed that part of him. I lost Frankie. I think he was a novice. I think he was one of the first to ever start using a lot of effects on his guitar. And, you know, there's a certain degree of, you know, something new. And I think that kind of overtook everybody. I don't know. I'm not going to break down his actual guitar playing because I've never paid that close of attention to him. I just was never a Hendrix fan. And like I said, I get it. I get the hate mail. I can shoulder it. It'll be okay. I just think that he's too high on some of these all-time guitar player lists, whereas Chris Hayes and Steven Stevens, who, you know, don't go out looking. They're the background guys. They're not the lead guys. They're not the lead singers. They're not the front men. They're the guys that put all this shit together and hold it like the fucking glue that they are. And they can play their instruments amazingly. And, you know, Steven Stevens is fucking...
Well,
it's like,
here's the thing. I've always said when, like, me and my buddy would talk about, who do you think the best guitarist or the best drummer? And I'm like, you know, the guy we name are all guys that are front and center. You know, you see them. They get a lot of publicity and what have you. You know, you see them at the time. You've seen them on MTV all the time. I said, but in all reality, your best guitarist or best musicians are playing in some blues bar down in New Orleans or something, you know, or jazz bar.
Or just a session guitar player who walks into a studio and they throw fucking sheet music up and you're getting the Eddie Van Halen guitar. And they're doing it by looking at a sheet of music and they can just fucking play it. You know, there are a million guys out there like that, that are studio musicians that, you know, they're not out there looking for the road and the fame. They just want to make good money doing what they love to do.
With Randy Rhoads being the exception. Because he was a teacher.
Yeah.
And that's what he loved.
Yeah. And well, he hated being on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, if Randy Rhoads would have just been a studio musician, he'd still be around and still be doing it and making a ton of money and then going back and teaching at his mom's school. Yeah. I think she's passed away since then, since, you know, here recently, like in the last, what, six years?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I wouldn't.
I could be wrong.
I don't even think it was that long ago.
Dolores Rhoads. God bless that woman. Anyway, yeah, I just want to say, if you get a chance to listen to some Billy Idol, pay attention to guitar work. Steven Stevens is amazing, and he's done amazing work for him for a lot of years, and he needs to be on that list. So there you go. Mm-hmm. All right, Frankie.
All right, are we done talking about?
Are we done talking about? We spent like 15 minutes talking about Billy Idol, and the rest of our time talking about things related to Billy Idol.
Yeah.
So. We hope.
Yeah, but Billy Idol's great, though. Don't, you know.
No, I love Billy Idol.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I love Billy Idol. I love him in The Doors. I loved him in The Wedding Singer. I love the albums he put out. I mean, you know, once again, do we have... Let me just get a list of his albums here real quick so you can get a chance. He was in Generation X, which was kind of a punk band. That's where you got to start from 76 to 81. Solo career, you know, for many, many years. Where is his album list? There's, you know, all kinds of stuff. Studio albums was 82 with Billy Idol, 83 Rebel Yell, 86 Whiplash Smile, 1990 Charmed Live, 93 Cyberpunk, 2005 Devil's Playground, 2006 Happy Holidays, and 2014 Kings and Queens of the Underground. They didn't put Vinyl Idol in that studio album list, so.
Yeah.
Apparently he's got more than that, but. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here, buddy.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to Golden 80s. We hope you enjoyed our banter and our love of music and albums and all that stuff. If you hear that, there's a train going by, so bear with me as I say. Go check out Golden Mojo ENT for all of your Golden 80s merchandise. Plus, you can get to know us a little bit. There's a write-up and a picture. If you don't know what we look like, we're sexy bitches. And the picture shows it. So go check that out, Golden Mojo ENT. Also, check out other podcasts from the Golden Mojo Empire, which include the Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, United States of Paranormal, Indiana Chiefs Fans, Murd Nerds, and A Court of Books and Booze, all part of the Empire. So, all right, Frankie.
All right.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, it was fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it next week.
Let's do it again.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.